Good morning, CKNW listeners. Happy, happy Valentine's morning. Hopefully you folks out there had a great Valentine's Day yesterday, February 14th, 2010. Today is, however, February 15th, 2010. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays here on CKLN Rude Awakening on 88.1 FM at CKLN FM, CKLN.FM online, and at Rogers Cable Box 947. So now, here today on the 15th of February, I did have a number of clips I plan on playing with featuring Mike Adams, the health ranger at naturalnews.com, breaking down a bit of what Big Pharmacide is up to. Freeway Ricky Ross, former biggest drug dealer like ever. Certainly rappers still reference him and you shout out his name these days. But he was actually working for the CIA, because the CIA and other government agencies around the world bring drugs into their countries or allow drugs to be brought in or have some sort of proxy arrangement where they use that to maintain a police state and control their people, prison industrial complex, and so on. So Mike Adams, Freeway Ricky Ross at freewayenterprises.com, had a clip of Mike Rivero from whatreallyhappened.com talking about the awakening going on now among the public, and Red Beckman, veteran truther, I guess, anti-New World Order crusader, been doing this for 40 years, and he's 81, and as he says, you know, they're running scared, and he's never been more optimistic, and you get an 81-year-old guy that's seen this for 40, 50 years saying that, you're going to be in a pretty good mood. So that's on tap. Right now, however, I cannot seem to access the computer by which I play music and clips, so I'm going to leave you with a bit more instrumentals. If I cannot make this work, I will make something else work shortly. Here on the 15th of February, it is Rude Awakening. I'm your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, and it appears that I'll be doing the show over this trippy CD today, so hope you don't mind that. We are going to have a good show for you, going to break down a few elements of our culture that need to be broken down, broken apart, and reconstructed by the people out there, the people of Toronto, the people of Ontario, the people of Canada, and the people of the world.
Problem then.
And just saw this in the metro this morning on the way up here. I live at Dufferin and Dundas. Usually take the College streetcar eastbound towards Yonge, hop off at Yonge and College, and then sprint over here to Ryerson University to CKLN Radio, where I can do my show. I'm sort of paralleling this from Infowars.com here. A familiar pattern: anarchists disrupt peaceful protest in Vancouver. This is from Kurt Nimmo at Infowars.com. And the reason I bring up the idea of the metro as well is there is a picture here of a police officer hold on one sec.
All right.
That's much better. All right, so as I was saying here, Infowars.com has a familiar pattern. Anarchists, in quotes, disrupt peaceful protest in Vancouver. And what are we being fed? I mean, if criminals inside government are sending anarchists to disrupt protesters, it's not for, you know, their consumption that it's in the paper. It's for our consumption. It says here, more than 200 mass protesters smashed windows where official Olympic clothing was on display, splashed red paint, vandalized cars and newspaper boxes, and intimidated pedestrians in downtown Vancouver Saturday before being confronted and dispersed by police in riot gear. So let's get this straight here. 200, it says, and this is the page 4 of the Metro, today's Metro on Family Day, 15th of February, 2010, more than 200 masked protesters smashed windows where official Olympic clothing was on display, splashed red paint, vandalized cars and newspaper boxes, and intimidated pedestrians. And this is during the police state that is the city of Vancouver during these Olympics. Now, there's no way hundreds of cops and anti-terror officials and so on, there's just no way in heck they let these people do that much damage, that many people, unless it was on purpose, unless it was planned. You know, you have this much surveillance there, you have this many cops, they're all crawling, looking for terrorists everywhere, and they let 200 protesters, anarchists in black masks, smash clothing displays and splash paint everywhere, vandalize cars and newspaper boxes, and then they get dispersed. They get dispersed. talking complete insanity here. And if you folks out there haven't seen the film The Nation's Deathbed, definitely recommend you do that. PressForTruth.ca is the producers, Dan Dix and Steve Davies. Steve Davies, director and producer, and Dan Dix, co-producer. And The Nation's Deathbed features the protests against the North American Union, the SPP.gov, Security and Prosperity Partnership sequel to NAFTA that merges and harmonizes the laws, rules, and regulations of Canada, America, and Mexico and puts them in the hands of private bodies of corporate boards, basically, that administer how the whole countries or all three countries are going to be run, similar to a European Union. So, Canadians who want to keep Canada, Americans want to keep Mexico, Mexicans want to keep, or Americans want to keep America, Mexicans want to keep Mexico, were against this, still are against this. But in 2007, there were protests held at Montebello, Quebec, for the third SPP summit that was being held that time. And about 1,500 protesters there. But what was key was anarchists in Montebello that were actually police informants. They worked for the Sûreté de Québec. And this was found out later. In a nutshell, for those who forget the story, it was reported by the CBC, it was reported by other outlets, The Star, CTV, and so on, after the YouTube video went viral. Three really large, muscle-bound anarchists wearing black masks and black clothes and carrying rocks approached the police line. And these really large, you know, gym rat anarchists, you know, who juxtaposed against the other skinny, emaciated, grimy teenage anarchists were quickly spotted by the union leader and others, and there were French protesters there yelling, "Policier, policier," and a union leader trying to hold a line against the police, because you kind of control your own protest line where you line up sort of face-to-face, eye-to-eye with the police so that you can control the amount of violence there and nobody starts hitting stupid that gets you or your friends killed. So he's saying, "This is our line, get back from here." And those guys kept trying to advance towards the police line, holding rocks in their hands. And the union leader tried to rip their masks off, eventually got a couple of masks off. Eventually, the protesters started to descend on the three supposed muscle-bound anarchists who dove behind the police line. They dove behind the green military stormtrooper-clad police line. They actually dove past it and dove into it. So the police swarmed them on the ground on their stomachs, cuffed them with their hands behind their backs, and the arresting officers had the same boots as the guys on the ground, as the anarchists. And that was enough to be incredibly suspicious. That video went viral, and eventually Peter McKay, our defense minister, and at the time, and others in the government said, yes, we did this, yes, we had people in there, but it was all normal police procedure. To definitely see The Nation's Deathbed, YouTube, Google Video, PressForTruth.ca for more on that. But the reason I bring that up is because this is what most of the media doesn't do. they don't give people any context when it comes to these things. When there's black-clad protesters causing havoc in Vancouver, that isn't how protesters normally roll. Most people that are protesting are doing it for a good cause in a good peaceful way, and they want to advance their cause. Whereas anarchists, generally speaking, appear to want to just tear everything down. Probably a bad thing to sell to people who like their society and their culture. But here at Infowars.com, let's figure out what's going on in Vancouver during the Olympics, where there is a potential false flag attack, and where this stuff is just preparation to demonize protesters and demonize protests and to make us convinced of the need for a police state. So, from Kurt Nimmo, Infowars.com, once again, so-called, quote, anarchists clad in black with their faces masked have engaged in a violent protest and property destruction, this time in Vancouver during the 2010 Olympics. A loosely organized group of thugs from central Canada promoting anarchy were among 200 anti-Olympic protesters who marched through downtown Vancouver Saturday, smashing plate glass windows at Hudson's Bay and TD Bank, overturning newspaper boxes, and assaulting bystanders, police say. They used spray paint on cars and transit buses, tore down signs, and threw about road construction barricades as they marched down the street, reports CTV. Now, quick question out there for you folks here in CKLN Radio Land, listening to CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM, or Rogers Scale Box 947, or this show archived at radioforall.net or archive.org. Who exactly feels like they can act like this today? I mean, what group of people together? You know, you might get some individual whack job out there who might be like, yeah, sure, I'm going to go nuts today. But what group of a couple of hundred people really feels like they can just sort of walk down the street smashing things and breaking things like a character out of a video game in the police state that is Vancouver during the Winter Olympics? Please do keep that in mind, folks. No group of people in their right mind could possibly reach consensus on something this cavalier and crazy. So this is quite likely provocateur. And this is InfoWars. Recitation of what I just broke down for you. In 2017, cops were caught red-handed posing as anarchists during a North American Union summit in Montebello, Quebec. Quote, protesters are accusing police of using undercover agents to provoke violent confrontations at the North American Leaders Summit, the Toronto Star reported. Such accusations have been made before after similar demonstrations, but this time the, quote, alleged agent provocateur have been caught on camera. Photographs released showed the supposed anarchists wearing the same boots as the police arresting them. Quote, protest organizers on Wednesday played the video for the media at a news conference in Ottawa. One of the organizers, union leader David Coles, explained that one reason protesters knew the men's true identities was because they were wearing the same boots as other police officers, CBC News reported on August 23rd, 2007. And I have screenshots of all these articles and so on. So there's that. So keep in mind that all you're going to do is you're going to see violent protesters and they want to ruin our Olympic party and yay. And the truth is, most of us are too smart for that. The people that do agitate for change and for positive change in this country are too smart to do anything that's stupid. And if you have stupid people the media promotes representing the Canadians out there engaging in healthy, peaceful dissent and civil disobedience, then keep in mind that the media is doing that to demonize us. But let's see what's on the cover of the Metro today. That was on page 4. On the cover is, of course, Heil gets better ratings than Super Bowl. More Canadians watch Jennifer Heil win Canada's first medal at the Vancouver Olympics than the Super Bowl, according to CTV. The host, broadcaster, and Saturday Night Ladies Mogul's final at the Whistler Mountain averaged 6.6 million viewers, with the audience peaking at 8 million in the final minute. New Orleans State's Super Bowl win over in Indianapolis drew an audience of 6 million on CTV. So there you go, folks. 8 million viewers, but 1 in 4 Canadians. 1 in 4, really. We're watching this victory. Now, what does that mean in our country? What does that mean here in Canada during the Olympics, where there's a bunch of great posters out there saying, go Canada, we believe, we want you to kick butt, whoever you people are. You know, this is the theft of our national pride, the Olympics. And atop a New World Order globalist, New World Order, basically the central banking families that print money from nothing to buy, bribe, control, and run the world through their various institutions and governments they control. And they control pretty much everything, though we do operate freely within those constructs. Nationalism, you know, their goal, nationalism was the big myth of the 20th century. Nationalism, that's why we had the Olympics in the 20th century, to make us all believe in nations and the value of nation states and to fight for those nations and to fight with other nations for our nation and allow the governments of those nations to grow huge and eventually get merged into a world government. And here we are. And that's why you see a whole bunch of advertising out there in the streets, global mind, global innovation, new global business reality, global sustainability, you know, all these things out there, because they are incrementally adjusting us to the idea of a one world government. Although they are making us cheer mindlessly for our Canadian athletes. Bilodeau brings home the gold, makes history. Canada's Olympic gold medal drought at home is finally over as freestyle skier Andre Alexandre Bilodeau has won the men's moguls at the Vancouver Olympics. The 22-year-old from Rosemere, Quebec, wrote himself into the history books by overtaking defending champion Dale Begg Smith, a Canadian-born skier who now competes for Australia. So there you go, folks. We won a gold medal at the Olympics in our country in a sport that we should excel in, like skiing. And life goes on, and that's exactly what this is. It is to suck up our good energy. Now, I'm not anti-Olympics, I'm not anti-fun, I'm not anti all these things, because I don't want to be put into the box that people create to put people in so they can ignore them. Essentially, as your radio host here, BK, on the 15th of February 2010, I feel I have a responsibility to put some of this in context, talk about the role of the government in both provocateuring and an atmosphere of basically tyranny there, incremental tyranny by getting everyone adjusted to the police state both there and seeing the police state on TV with thousands of anti-terrorism squads and drug squads and cops and cameras and so on there. Basically assuming that that we're all criminals and we're all guilty till proven innocent, because that's what you do when you have that kind of security around. To take some of that And to see also how they've manipulated our minds and our hearts with all this Olympic fever, and how they've trained Canadians that this is what being Canadian is. Cheering for athletes you heard of this morning when you read the paper, and who you might make a little time to watch this evening because you happen to have some time to catch an event that you're not too familiar with, didn't care for before, won't care for later, but today, because you can, you're going to cheer like a maniac. And that's what that's how they take American patriotism, Canadian patriotism, and patriotism worldwide and make sure they channel it uselessly. Do people here care about saving this country? Do they care about getting the aspartame out of our food supply, getting the mercury out of our food supply and our cornstarch, the vaccines out of our children and bodies in general? Do they care about ending government or corporate corruption? Do they care about ending our ridiculous tax rates, where here we now pay 13% sales tax on everything? Do they care about these things? Would doing stuff like that make you Canadian? Would it make you Canadian to other Canadians? That's something we have to understand, because who decides who's Canadian or what's Canadian? Who decides that? Who describes that as something that other Canadians should follow? That would be the New World Order. That would be our corporate media, our feducation system, the fed lines that turn into headlines. They define what it means to be Canadian, so we fall for it, and then our country, our Canada, slips at the same time. So keep that in mind. The Olympics are one big charade meant to pull the mask over our eyes. And, hey, what am I supposed to say? Don't watch him? I can't say don't watch him, so I can just say be careful. Also, on the cover here of the Metro, interesting little article. And this is on Family Day, too, on Family Day. You know, they're really, these guys are really, really in the tank for Gardasil George Smitherman, the former Minister of Health, MPP for Ontario Centre, who helped approve Gardasil and is now running for mayor here in the city of Toronto. Bouncing baby boy coming for Smitherman and partner. Openly gay Toronto mayoral candidate and former Ontario Cabinet Minister George Smitherman is a big step closer to adopting a baby boy. The Toronto Children's Aid Society has granted Smitherman and his husband Christopher Peloso, quote, approval in principle to adopt, Smitherman said in a press release yesterday. Quote, Christopher and I are very proud to share the news, he said. Quote, despite our overwhelming joy at the prospect of being parents to a beautiful baby boy, we must ask for your complete cooperation respecting our privacy and the important legal process that governs our potential adoption, unquote. Smitherman said it takes a minimum of 6 months for an adoption to be finalized. The adoption isn't official until the new parents and child have gotten to know each other and the authorities have determined the child's needs are being met. So, congratulations, George and Christopher. You know, I still think that... You haven't done much in your tenure as a politician so far, according to your website, Mr. Smitherman. And as for you and your partner adopting, lots of things, lots of people can say about that. But the timing of this is really interesting. The election for mayor of Toronto is in November of 2010. It is currently February, about halfway through February, heading into May. And it said, and Smitherman himself says it takes about 6 months for an adoption to be finalized at minimum. So, by the time the election rolls around, October, November, Mr. Smitherman and his partner will have a beautiful baby boy to be plastered all over the papers with just in time for the election. Phenomenal stuff here, folks. Now, a guy who's running for mayor, is this really the right time to make that type of commitment to being a parent when you're campaigning hard for these things? You know, I don't know. Hey, maybe they're at that age in their life. Certainly they don't have, you know, issues with, infertility, being two guys. But why they make this decision now, who the heck knows. Back to InfoWars right now. Utah legislates against climate alarmists. Just a ruse to control population. So this is great news. The state of Utah... and this is according to Suzanne Goldenberg in the London Guardian, courtesy of InfoWars.com. Utah legislates against climate alarmists, just a ruse to control population, is what, I wonder what the Guardian says. That's what, that's what the InfoWars headline was. But the Guardian headline is actually Utah delivers vote of no confidence for, quote, climate alarmists. The U.S.'s most Republican state passes a bill disputing signs of climate change, claiming emissions are, quote, essentially harmless. Finally, some legislation based on the hard science behind exposing this fraud. Back to the article. Carbon dioxide is, quote, essentially harmless to human beings and good for plants. So now will you stop worrying about global warming? Utah's House of Representatives apparently has, at least. Officially, the most Republican state in America... Its political masters have adopted a resolution condemning, quote, climate alarmists and disputing any scientific basis for global warming. Now, most of the world out there, thanks to the Obama election and thanks to 8 horrible years under George Bush, has swung to the left, the socialist side, to prepare us for global socialism and communism. And again, there's a push-pull, the fake left-right paradigm, the left and right are both controlled by the same masters who basically keep them fighting, a fight we pay attention to and endorse by our choice of one or the other, while the real agenda remains unchanged behind the scenes and continues passing. More wars, bigger military-industrial complex, less money for education, poorer quality of living, higher taxes, all that keeps going no matter who we elect, Republican or Democrat, or here in Canada, Conservative, Liberal, or NDP, or Green for that matter. So... they're framing it this way to say the Republicans are doing this, Republicans are doing this. Unless you're a Republican, you shouldn't believe this. If you're not a Republican, then you should scorn this. And so that's what they're trying to do by structuring the article this way. But back to the article. Because this isn't a Republican issue. It's a truth and lies issue. If Democrats don't understand ClimateGate, expose the fraud, and how on November 20th, thousands of emails were leaked from East Anglia University, the United Nations' top
Climate Research Institute showed that they know they're lying. Internal emails were leaked or hacked that revealed all the UN scientists know they're lying, get paid millions to lie, and scratch their heads thinking about how to lie better in collusion with each other to keep this fraud and their grants and the billion-dollar carbon trading cap-and-trade market scam going. So, left or right, doesn't matter. We got to deal with the facts as they are. We got to support anybody who accidentally aligns with a political affiliation, because you don't have a choice in this system. If you want to be a congressperson, it's way easier joining a party. And you can just do it like Ron Paul did it for the last 30, 40 years. 30 years in Congress, been saying the same things, voting against every bill that was unconstitutional. He's got a perfect 30-year track record. Nobody else voted like him. Nobody else acted like him. They all respected him. And eventually his ideas have now borne fruit as the world realizes he's been right and others have been right who've gone for truth instead of party ideology. So, back to the article. The measure, which passed by a 56-17 vote, has no legal force, though it was critically claimed by climate change skeptics as a great victory in the wake of the controversy caused by a mistake over Himalayan glaciers in the UN's landmark report on global warming. They're not making mistakes, folks. Every time they get caught lying, they call it a mistake. So, the original version of the bill dismissed climate change as, quote, a well-organized and ongoing effort to manipulate and incorporate, quote, tricks related to global temperature data in order to produce a global warming outcome. It accused those seeking action on climate change of riding a gravy train, and their efforts would, quote, ultimately lock billions of human beings into long-term poverty. In the heat of the debate, Representative Mike Noel said environmentalists were part of a vast conspiracy to destroy the American way of life and control world population through forced sterilization and abortion. Now, The Guardian UK is a mainstream British newspaper. They're like the New York Times of Europe. They're one of the biggest. The Guardian in London and Le Monde in Paris are probably the two biggest. I think there's one in Der Spiegel. Yeah, Le Monde in Paris and Der Spiegel in Germany are sort of like the three biggest papers there. They could be equivalent to the New York Times or something like that of Europe. Now, the reason they're mentioning this forced sterilization and abortion stuff is because they're trying to discredit it. Just like they're trying to discredit this whole thing. They're going to give you the truth, and then they're going to ask you to make a choice. Are you going to be like these whack jobs who believe these crazy things about how evil people want to kill everybody, or are you going to believe in climate change and pay your damn carbon tax? And that is the question that is on the table before humanity. So back to the article here. By the time the final version of the bill came to a vote, and there are links here. There are links on this. These guys actually link to the bills and to the different things. The European media is much better than our media is at that. Our media just gives us a little flat 50 words worth of text and says, think that today. I'm gone now. By the time the final version of the bill came to vote, cooler heads apparently prevailed. The bill dropped the word, quote, conspiracy and described climate science as, quote, questionable rather than flawed. However, it insisted against all evidence that the hockey stick graph of changing temperatures was discredited. It also called on the federal government's Environmental Protection Agency to order an immediate halt in moves to regulate greenhouse gas emissions until, quote, a full and independent investigation of climate data and global warming science can be substantiated. As Noel explained, sometimes we need to have the courage to do nothing. And that's the end of the article, brilliantly written by Ms. Goldenberg. Keep in mind that people out there who are conspiracists, as it were, and by that I mean they recognize that there's a big conspiracy out there. They've done some investigations into it, and they're comfortable taking in information that fits into that paradigm. The paradigm that it is, we are being lied to on a consistent and regular basis by our governments, our corporations, our major institutions, and our media. There is a reason that lying persists and seems to only get worse. And that reason is that there is a conspiracy to hide that reason. And that's basically it. As long as the government keeps lying and can't stop them, you can either try and figure out why, or you can live with it or die with it. And same with every other institution we have that has any power or influence over us. So this article on climate change is meant to be read by people that believe in climate change, and it's meant to have them continue believing that man-made activity causes climate change. In a nutshell, to go over this again and again and again, March 2007 is when I first went over it, right after the UN dropped their IPCC study and launched the global warming hoax, though in the 2 years plus since, it's been colder. So, hey, either they got it wrong or they're lying. Either way, I don't want to pay a damn carbon tax for it. The point is that carbon dioxide is only about 3% of greenhouse gases in total, so a fraction of the total. You got to think of this like liquid. Think of the earth as a pebble in a glass of water. And think of the water outside as being 3% carbon dioxide, as it were. Now, if that 3% gets a little bit warmer or a little bit colder, it doesn't affect the rest of it, the rest of that glass of water and the marble earth ball inside at that much, because it's such a fraction of the water getting a fractionally hotter or cooler. So carbon dioxide is only about 3% of greenhouse gases, and humans contribute only about 4% of that to the atmosphere. The rest of it's contributed by plants, animals, human beings, or no, by insects, birds, animals, and human beings exhaling carbon dioxide, and then plants breathing that carbon dioxide for photosynthesis, which is how they grow. Basically, carbon dioxide is plant food, and yet it is what the environmentalists today are focusing on banning most. So you can see the insanity they're trying to push here, the complete and utter insanity. Carbon dioxide is not bad for people, and it is not bad for the earth. And the reason they're focusing on that is because this is a giant foundation-funded New World Order fraud that they bet all their marbles on in the 70s. And if we didn't have the internet today, your radio host, yours truly, might be selling this nonsense to you and demanding all of you out there accept that you have to pay 5 cents for a plastic bag, accept that you may have to pay an extra couple of pennies for a bus transfer, accept the fact you have to pay an extra few cents for the plastic on your shoelaces, little grommet, thingy there. Accept the fact that you have to pay new carbon taxes on everything. And accept the fact that you may have to die because your carbon footprint is too much for poor Mother Earth, this abstract concept, to handle. So keep in mind, the climate change fraud is one of the most dangerous. It is part of UN Agenda 21. UN Agenda 21 is a plan to colonize the Earth, basically. The UN will take control over the entire planet by creating world wildlife protected zones and zones where they say this is a nature preserve. There can be no development there and no people there. That's why they're herding so many people into compact cities. And I just heard yesterday from a friend of mine that Toronto is one of the fastest growing cities in the world when it comes to development. One of the reasons is that we are one of the most hardcore New World Order mind control cities in the world. We are a super multicultural population, and the New World Order wants a borderless world. In our tolerant, exceptionally tolerant, but don't say a damn thing offensive society, don't know how we managed to pull that off here. Interesting paradox. People are encouraged to flex their cultures, and yet encouraged not to flex their cultures too much and to fit in and so on. And in that melange, the common things that we agree to talk about and discuss and believe in and behave like all come from the corporate media or the state. Same difference these days. So Toronto is one of those cities where, if they launch Facebook, we'll have the most Facebook users. If they launch Twitter, we'll have the most Twitter users. If they launch, bench clothing, we'll have the most bench clothing wearers. If they launch Lululemon or some other fashionable trend, we'll have a bunch of those. If they launch triple goose jackets that are brown or whatever, just basically plain jackets or blue with a little patch on the arm, then all of a sudden half of us will be wearing those, because that's how we roll here in TDOT. We want to make sure we're cool, and the people that define cool know that and really mess with our minds as a result of that. So, essentially, UN Agenda 21, the green climate change, global warming, carbon taxing agenda, all of these are fundamentally anti-human. Now, it may sound like they're being nice to humans because, they act like it and they lie, but in reality, it is an anti-human agenda, because it focuses totally on attacking human beings, attacking industrialization in this part of the world and worldwide, deindustrializing us, telling us we can't have this, we can't have that, we have to lower our standards of living, and doing all this in the name of the abstract concept of the weather somehow affecting the planet or affecting us. Now, if they really cared about us, they wouldn't be worried about us drowning in 20 years when they can't get the weather right for the weekend. I mean, think about it. Can't get the weather for the weekend, please. Telling me in 20 years we guarantee to freeze. Or heat up. In the 70s, it was global cooling. Now it's global warming. So this anti-human agenda is something you have to pay attention to out there. I do apologize for being didactic, but hey, that's what I do. The anti-human agenda. Keep in mind how we're being attacked by this. If you've seen the Simpsons movie out there, you saw how the Environmental Protection Agency in the U.S. basically quarantined Springfield, the Simpsons fictional town, and placed it under a dome. Now, believe it or not, that is the final plan for UN Agenda 21 that should be completed in the next 20, 30 years or so. To take Toronto, cut the population down by about two-thirds, maybe three-quarters, and then stick her in a dome. And the way they want to do this is by building these mega cities first, overcrowded cities, hammered by a recession, teeming with people like rats, teeming with rats aiming to eat people. And that is the plan for our future, unless we wake up to this type of nonsense. And we're back, CKLN listeners. It says here, couples rally for in vitro fertilization. Group chooses Family Day to push for OHIP coverage of treatment. Now, for those of you folks out there who don't know, in vitro fertilization is basically where they use artificial means to help people get pregnant here. So it says here, group chooses Family Day to push for OHIP coverage of treatment. A group representing more than 1,100 Ontario couples who need help conceiving a child plan to rally outside of the legislature today, the second annual Family Day holiday, to demand provincial funding for in vitro fertilization treatments. Incidentally, Family Day is some American holiday today, too. And I remember this being launched a couple of days ago. U.S. holiday, Feb 15th. I think it's President's Day. President's Day? Yes, today is President's Day. So I remember Family Day being announced by our government a couple years ago and thinking that it was part of the harmonization process of Canada, America, and Mexico by giving us the same holidays. We've actually started moving towards an every four-year election cycle federally and so on. So a bunch of minor changes out there that we should notice. But here, Joanne Oribe, of Conceivable Dreams, is helping lead a rally outside Queen's Park today, outside the provincial legislature. So definitely support them if you can, if you feel up to it, if you're in the mood to. But keep in mind a couple of things I'm going to tell you about this article once I'm done breaking it down. The Liberal government has commissioned two in-depth studies of the issue, both of which recommend the Ontario Health Insurance Plan cover the IVF treatments, which can cost up to $10,000 per cycle, said Joanne Oribe, co-founder of Conceivable Dreams. Quote, infertility is a serious medical condition with huge economic, social, and personal consequences, Harid told the legislature's finance committee during recent pre-budget hearings. One in six Ontario couples struggles with infertility, unquote. The in vitro fertilization is one of the safest and most effective infertility treatments, said Harid. Quote, it can control the number of embryos implanted and therefore ensure that one healthy baby is delivered at a time, she said. Many Ontarians could conceive through the use of IVF, but the cost is beyond the financial reach of most families. Many couples undergo three rounds of IVF treatment at a total cost of about $30,000, said Oribe, who postponed her own wedding to save money for the treatments. Now, not against anybody wanting to have kids here, but let's face facts. The fertility rates in this part of the world, the West especially, have been dropping substantially over the last 50, 60 years. And there's a number of reasons for this, but there's a number of reasons why, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, couples could easily have 10 kids. You had a farm, you had 10 kids, no problem, no brainer. But these days, people take 2, 3, 4 years and $30,000 to have just one. So you can see there's a money-making venture going on behind the scenes here. And believe me, all the IVF people and the IVF drug companies and so on are probably giving grants in some fashion to this foundation. Drug companies are probably supporting it, or at least the foundations owned by rich people that support a lot of activism might be giving grants to these folks. I haven't looked into it for sure. Can't say, but I can say that's usually how it works, because that forces these people to ask for specific solutions, namely, can the government tax taxpayers more to give the money to big pharmaceutical companies for questionable treatments that work sometimes, don't work others, and are part of a package that's by and large overall killing us. And so those are the consistent solutions being asked for by people, because hey, that's all we know to ask for in this culture, because that's all that's promoted by our mainstream media. So Markham residents support food belt. A large majority of Markham residents have concerns about urban sprawl, traffic congestion, and growth issues. Both these articles are on page 3 of the Metro here. And keep in mind, the UN is going for control over the world's food supply, so there's going to be a lot more pushing and pulling and arguing around food. But yes, the idea of a food belt is good, except for the fact that there's a two-tiered food system in this part of the world. There's organic foods. You can go to Whole Foods or Whole Paycheck, as is the nickname, and so on. Or there's poison food at your regular grocery store. A lot of it's genetically modified and so on. I have a great clip of Mike Adams on the Alex Jones Show talking about all this. But today, a bit of sabotage, as my computer is not working. If you are joining the show late, folks, it is the 15th of February, 2010. I apologize. This is not the show that I was going to do, because I did have about 4 or 5 short clips I was going to play interspersed with a bunch of funky music. But the main mixing board here is not taking a signal in from the computer the way it usually does, so hopefully by tomorrow this will be cleared up. Has happened here on occasion before. I don't know what the problem is, but got to figure this out so the next time I come in, I can take care of it. So I am flying through the Metro and going along with a CD that has been playing here, courtesy of CKLN Radio. Not sure who it is, but pretty fun stuff. And victim arrested after attacker sentenced on page 3. More racism being sowed here. Newmarket. Emotions erupted in Newmarket courthouse Friday as a Sutton man was sentenced to 2 years less a day in jail for a racist attack on Asian anglers. And one of the victims, upset at the life sentence, wound up handcuffed and arrested. Justice Alfred Strong found that Trevor Middleton, 23, was motivated partly by racism when he and 3 truckloads of Georgina Township youths shoved Ruholang Liu and Charles Hogan, 24, both 24, into Lake Simcoe early in the morning of September 16, 2007. In the type of attack some locals referred to as nip or nipper tipping, one of their friends was left with permanent brain damage in the attack. Loud sighs, sobs, and swearing were heard in the packed courtroom after the judge read his sentence, which also included 3 years probation, a 10-year driving ban, and an order for Middleton to take cultural sensitivity training. "There is no justice in Canada," an Asian and a Canadian man shouted in the hallway of the courthouse. Liu was handcuffed and arrested by police after the armrest of a courthouse chair was thrown at a hallway window, shattering it. Police did not immediately comment on whether he had been charged. So, a victim of this, after going through a couple of years of court hearings after a brutal assault, sees the perpetrator gets 2 years less a day, a sentence that could actually be shrunk even further, and flips out. So, what are you going to do? Well, again, the New World Order out there are trying to sow racism in our culture, and even the Obama election that was supposed to end racism has only increased it as people see things more along racial lines as opposed to the lines of right and wrong. So I honestly don't think that this was fair, but I also know that, you know, hate crimes and categorizing things that way don't necessarily allow people to be as objective about these issues. A crime is a crime is a crime is a crime. Hate is hate is hate is hate. regardless, if you hate me or not, that's your business. If you commit a crime, well, that's my business and the state's business, and it's our business to make sure you don't do that to me or anybody else anymore. So the idea of hate crimes and banning free speech and the government stepping in to have an increasing role, this is all part and parcel of the process, incrementally adjusting our brains to doing that. There's tons of stuff out there, little Fabians, as I call them, because the Fabian socialists are the ones who do incrementally adjust our brains over time to accept certain changes, and this is part of that. So seeing a few more articles like this, like we have over the years, and then hearing the government announce they're finally doing something about it, we may be in favor of banning free speech just because of the way they've spun it to us. So there it is. Obama declares he will rule by authoritarian decree. Let's poke our nose at what's going on here. The Obama administration has announced it will now rule by fascist decree and ignore Congress and the American people. Quote, with much of his legislative agenda stalled in Congress, President Obama and his team are preparing an array of actions using his executive power to advance energy, environmental, fiscal, and other domestic policy priorities, reports the New York Times. Quote, we are reviewing a list of presidential executive orders and directives to get the job done across the front of issues. Across the front of issues, said Rahm Emanuel, the White House chief of staff, who's fond of cracking his knuckles in Obama's face, as a previous New York Times article revealed, and as the link to here shows. According to New York Times, ruling in an authoritarian fashion is normal and acceptable. Quote, any president has vast authority to influence policy even without legislation through executive orders, agency rulemaking, and administrative fiat. So they're selling us the dictatorship. And I knew this, folks. I was out there. I've been out for 2 years. I was on to Obama in early 2008. This is bad news. You know, I was just talking to my Ma Dukes yesterday. And she's saying, ah, things bad, things bad. And I was like, yeah, well, things are kind of bad. And I'm kind of doing stuff bad. And that's why I'm a little too busy to hang out and, you know, say I like the food and all that. And I was like, look at Obama. Look what he's doing. Look at the wars. She was like, oh, you know. Yeah, there's that. And I said, see, that's Obama. Obama will take nice, well-meaning liberals and get them to forget about war. And every time I bring up something about Obama, they'll say, yeah, he gave billions or trillions to banks. Yeah, the recession's getting worse, but he's doing his best. He's trying his hardest. Leave him alone. He's my Obama. Leave him alone. And that type of loyalty to the character, the image that's been created by the mainstream media is, in and of itself, what is the problem? Because if you have to believe in your fantasy, and by the way, folks, today there's nothing realer than believing the fantasy. There's nothing realer than believing you can be a top model or a top rapper or an American Idol. I mean, that is keeping it hardcore. You can see all the music out there reinforces that notion. You know, I want the fame forever. I want the money forever. I want the glamour. I want, you know, keeping it real is believing the fantasy, and keeping it real is believing the fantasy of Obama, despite the fact that here, the New York Times is even selling the fact that he's going to say, to hell with Congress, to hell with the Senate, to hell with all the elected representatives of the people, I am going to use executive orders, agency rulemaking, and administrative fiat. And his White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, certainly endorses this as a real bastard himself. So look at the people behind Obama. Look at the movie The Obama Deception. Look at the movie Fall of the Republic. Look at the books by Webster, Griffin, Tarpley. And it's time to figure Obama out, because he will take the world off a cliff if half the world goes along with what he says. Now, people are waking up fast, but not fast enough based on what's happening. In a nutshell, the Copenhagen Agreement in December of last year was supposed to create a world government framework to tax the entire planet based on the threat of global warming or climate change. The ClimateGate emails revealing the top UN scientists responsible for promoting the theory that man-made activity causes substantial and dangerous climate change. The emails were revealed, creating ClimateGate. That helped stall Copenhagen and push Copenhagen back, and basically practically killed Hope Copenhagen. Also, the Third World showed up and said, wait a minute, we're not getting goodies and carbon tax dividends from the First World. We're actually getting told that we have to deindustrialize even further in the final equation in this treaty, so we're not signing it. So Copenhagen kind of died, but Obama, Gordon Brown, Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper and others, you know, although Harper is nominally against it, it's happening at the local level. All of them have said, you know what, since we can't get this done internationally and get our legislators to agree on it, we're just going to push it locally. We're going to force the cities to do it. With our federal bureaucracy cracking down on the provincial or state and or municipal bureaucracies. And we're just going to bribe the cities that are cash-starved to do this or die. And that's the plan. Worth mentioning here on page 5 of the Metro as the daily greenwashing continues. Sustainability, that's that word. Whenever you see that word sustainability, keep in mind it means the rich want to steal all your stuff and tell you later on you're going to have more of it. Insane. Don't let anybody rob your house or take your money out of your pocket the same way. More Canadians want healthier options in foods and beverages. They also want companies to be more environmentally accountable, a new survey indicates. Really? Really? What does that mean? Well, generally, we want you to do the right thing. Okay? Okay? Okay. So, all these corporations and governments that do nothing to help people are springing into action for Mother Earth. Hallelujah. The recession has also affected our Canadian shop with the result that more people are buying products and eating at home, the research showed. Conducted by Brand Spark, the 7th annual survey involved more than 25,000 Canadian consumers and uncovered key findings in areas of the environment, a desire for healthier options in food and beverages, and an increase in purchase of private label and in-store brands versus premium and name brands. The study is used to compile the winners of the 2010 Best New Product Awards. Known as the People's Choice Awards for Consumer Products, the competition gauges habits and trends among Canadian consumers. Quote, the awards not only provide us with valuable insights about current products and innovations, but also larger movements and approaches toward what they purchase and, more importantly, why, says Robert Levy, president of BrandSpark International and founder of the awards. The survey also found that Canadians want environmental accountability. Consumers are demanding companies to be more accountable in terms of their environmental claims. They are willing to pay for products with realistic and tangible claims, such as reduced packaging, he said. In terms of healthier options in food and beverages, consumers want products with added health benefits, and they are willing to pay more for products that will help prevent illness, he says. So, what does this mean? Well, a couple years ago, my colleague Mark Bills and I were on the air. Mark Bills on Tuesday, Rude Awakening, my co-host for a couple years. Great guy, CKLN alumnus. And this Greeniac stuff was starting to bubble and percolate somewhere around 2007-ish. And because the kickoff was, again, in March 2007, they said, it's going to get really, really warm if we don't all act right now. And we didn't act right now, and it didn't get really, really warm. So, you know, hey, what are you going to do? But, well, you're going to expose this crap, I hope. But the point is that the way these are written, the way these are structured, the way these questions are asked, we're being told, do you want corporations to be more environmentally friendly? Yes. Do you want governments to? Yes. Do you want all these people to? Yes. Are you sure? Yes, 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 yes. And what ends up happening? We end up paying more. We end up being taxed more. We end up being restricted more. There's already new laws in England and new eco police that are going through people's garbage. The Audi eco fascism ads as well at the Super Bowl that premiered where a bunch of fun, happy-go-yucky, lucky, young, good-looking green police go out there and they nail you for choosing plastic over paper or drinking from a styrofoam cup. They even nail the regular cops for drinking from styrofoam cups, and that is the power of the new Green Stoppo. Why? The Club of Rome in the 1970s, giant New World Order globalist think tank, thought, okay, we've got wars going, this is great, we're building up central governments worldwide, building up the communist government, the Russian one, and then the American government primarily, and then we're going to merge the capitalist and communist system into the third way, as quoted by Alvin, or as referenced by Alvin Toffler in his book, The Third Way. Even Karl Marx said capitalism was going on in the last 70 years, and then followed the global communism, and that's what we're seeing happening right now, as the slow dominoes of national governments start to crumble to a global international system of regulations, which is basically international communism when you have that type of centralized bureaucracy. So the Club of Rome in the 70s said, we can't just have wars to create a global government because wars are two countries fighting each other. People just kind of rally around their old governments. So there's two things we can use. One is global warming or climate change, where we make man himself the enemy, and everybody agrees to give up part of what they own and part of what they have and reduce their lifestyles in order to save the nebulous concept of the Earth. Or, number two, an alien attack. And certainly there's evidence in the media out there of people preparing our minds for that, like the movie 2012 and so on. So you know, here I'd like to share a couple of solutions with you. I'm certainly at TorontoTruthSeekers.com. We've been on the streets for several months right now. For the last about 6 months in July of 2009, I've taken a little bit of a break during the cold, in part because it's simply not practical. You can't get people to take information from you when they won't take their hands out of their pockets as easily. So, but do recommend out there getting creative, downloading a couple of flyers or flyer templates, certainly the climate change flyer. We can end that fraud once and for all before the creeping green fascism, the eco-fascism, strangles all of us in this city, in this country, and around the world. And so that's one idea. Share a piece of paper. You know, I was at a local convenience store in my neighborhood at Dufferin and Dundas the other day. Saw a brown family I know there and a young man there. He was holding a baby, a one-year-old baby. I was like, oh, so cute. And I didn't have any pieces of paper on me with my little fascism info. Fascism. Vaccine info, excuse me. Fascism in general, but my little info on the risks of vaccines, courtesy of doctors and a place to get vaccine exemption forms. So I took a pen, I wrote vran.org, I told the young man, men got a man up for this, his dad was there, I think his dad's a little bit in TV land and scared to talk about these things like a lot of the older generation is, whereas young guys like, yeah, things are messed up and I'm a young man, so what's going on here? So he's a bit more open to it, but it's a good idea to keep a couple little slices of paper on you, which you can get at TorontoTruthSeekers.com or you can make your own. 10 to a page, you know, tiny little pieces of paper, and if you ever see somebody with a baby and you feel the courage to do it, hand them a vaccine exemption, or a piece of paper with a place to get vaccine exemption forms, more information on the risks of vaccines, places to hear medical doctors questioning the use of vaccines. Had a clip today, again, from Mike Adams and naturalnews.com talking about the dangers of Gardasil, the dangers of the H1N1 vaccine, and the dangers of our culture is something I want to spell out. Only 6% of France took the H1N1 shot. The rest of the 50 million shots, they pretty much have to throw out or try and pawn off in the third world, make them pay for them with their IMF loans that only further indebt them to poison them, as the New World Order, World Health Organization, and other international bodies are likely to do. So that's 6% of the French population. Also similar numbers in Germany and so on. But England, Canada, America, much larger percentage, especially Canada. We have the highest percentage of people to take the H1N1 vaccine in the world. We had the largest percentage of any population. Now, we have a small population, not much to reach with a lot of propaganda, so there's a bunch of factors at work in terms of understanding that fact. However, the bottom line is this. It did happen. Canadians took with the largest percentage of any country to take the H1N1 vaccine was the Canadian population. So keep in mind how we are controlled, and keep in mind that we can wake up to the world by checking out a few sites around the world that break this down. Again, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, strongly recommend it. We are trying to do big things this year, ramping up efforts, trying to get reorganized and to take on the system. So TorontoTruthSeekers.com, we're building a gang in the city for protection against the New World Order. Do consider joining it, or at least checking out the work we do and then doing some of that type of work independently on your own. Also, PressForTruth.ca, great website out there. Dan Dix and Brian Law's phenomenal new film, United We Fall, is coming out. Why do I say phenomenal? Because what they've done so far looks phenomenal, so look for that soon. ConspiracyCulture.com, great bookstore at Queen and Roncesvalles DVD store. Check out Patrick and Kadena's wonderful little shop, really classy joint down there beside a bunch of wonderful antique stores. They fit in perfectly as a classy, classy place to digest and acquire information about these subjects. Also, the Toronto Street News with Victor Fletcher. Shout out to Mr. Victor Fletcher. 10 years in the game in the city, donating over $1 million to the homeless here by giving them a newspaper to sell full of quality conspiracy stuff. That's right, information on health, wealth, and relationship risks that you can learn so yours are not as much at risk. Also, the FreedomLink.org, or the FreedomLink.org, got a shout-out, Brad's site. Bunch of Yanks, bunch of Network Patriot sites out there. But I am out of here, folks. It has been the 15th of February, 2010, and I apologize if you joined us late. The mixing board is not taking in the computer signal, so I could not play my usual show. I am working off a CD that happened to be playing when I got here. But I will give you, I will leave you with, you're lucky for this, DJ David James, a legendary local legend, David James, with 4 hours of jazz coming up in just a minute. Hope you have a great day, everybody. Semper Fi, always faithful. Be true to yourself out there, and be true to the idea that you can do something. Everybody I talked to today is worried about the future. People are waking up left, right, and center and wondering, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? There's logic and there's logistics. Let's take a look around and see if we can figure it out. Peace out, everybody.